I'd like to add my welcome to everyone this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence here, our members and our visitors alike. You have to kind of excuse me. I think I've caught Dawn's cold, so I'm going through the sore throat phase right now. This morning we're going to continue our general theme of overcoming sin, and we're going to talk about anger this morning. You know, everybody gets angry from time to time. It's just a natural reaction to certain situations that we face in life. The Bible talks a lot about anger. For example, in our Bible class this morning, we learned that God was angry at the Israelites when they started complaining about the manna. In John chapter 2, we see Jesus becoming angry when he overturned the tables of the money changers. So the Bible tells us we can be angry if we do it in the correct way. As we read this morning from Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Well, since anger isn't necessarily a sin, why then are we going to talk about overcoming it as a sin? Well, it's important, I think, to look, first of all, at the two primary words in the New Testament that are translated anger. The first one, orge, was describing any natural impulse, any natural desire or disposition, but then it came to mean anger. And it's one of man's strongest passions. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, in the Old King James, it's translated wrath. In fact, 36 times in the King James Version, it appears, and most often is translated wrath. The second word is thumos. It's an even more agitated condition than orge. It means an outburst of wrath. It's a very strong emotion that blazes up real quickly and just as quickly then subsides. In Galatians 5 and verse 20, it's mentioned as one of the works of the flesh. And that word, thumos, occurs 18 times in the King James Version, and it's almost always translated wrath as well. So you don't necessarily know by reading the text which one it's referring to. Sometimes the context helps. But the difference is this. Thumos, that type of anger or wrath, is very full in nature. As I said, it blazes up quickly, then quickly subsides. On the other hand, orge is a more deep-seated and long-lasting in nature. It's kind of like holding a grudge. You're just really angry at this person for a long time. But the important point is that if it's not handled properly, neither one of these is a characteristic that's fitting for a Christian. I would compare anger to being much like fire. If we can control a fire does a lot of good. I can build a nice fire in my fireplace in the wintertime, and it provides me heat and warmth. But if that fire gets out on the rug, then I've got a problem, because if fire is not controlled, then it can be highly destructive. And the same is true of anger. Some Christians can control their anger, and it really enhances our ability to be a force for good when we can handle anger properly. But on the other hand, others have a more difficult time with anger. And when our anger goes uncontrolled, then it can destroy our influence for good. So we want to examine the scriptures this morning and consider some reasons why it's wrong to give in to anger. And then we're going to finish the lesson by considering some things we can do to overcome anger. Well, first of all, what's wrong with uncontrolled anger? Well, there's a lot of things. First of all, as we learned from Ephesians 4, anger can lead to sin. Be angry and do not sin. Well, what's the message there? Well, if we're not careful, anger can cause us to sin. So this passage is not giving us a license to be angry, but it's warning us of the strong connection between anger and sin. We need to remember that anger is one of the strongest possible passions that a man can have. And so it's easy for it to get the best of us if we're not careful. And I know I've got a problem with anger from time to time. Usually my anger is at things rather than people. Windows 8 can get my anger moving pretty quickly. Or a computer that suddenly decides it doesn't want to behave itself. Or a lawnmower or something of that nature. I also have a problem with anger driving from time to time, especially when I'm in a hurry, because those other people on the road just don't seem to know. They must have got their driver's license from a cereal box or something of that nature. But so we have to be careful with our anger. So we're not to let our anger get out of control and blind us of our good common sense and reason and lead us to sin. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife. A furious man abounds in transgressions. And I certainly know that to be true. I regret many times losing my temper. I think a good example of what anger can lead to is in the case of Cain. Remember when God rejected his offering, said that Cain was what? Very angry. And his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" All he had to do was follow God's instructions, and things would have been just fine. So his anger was pretty much out of order, wasn't it? And what did it do? It opened the door to sin. And he did what? He killed his own brother because he was so angry. So the same thing can happen to us. Anger is a very dangerous emotion, and it provides a strong avenue for temptation and sin. Song number 719 in our songbook. Angry words, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. And that's certainly good advice. Well, another thing that's wrong with uncontrolled anger is it resides in the heart in the very same place as murder. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Pretty strong words, isn't it? That to be angry at our brother without cause puts us in danger of the judgment. There certainly are legitimate reasons sometimes to be angry at other people. But there are severe consequences for us being angry without a cause. So I think it's important every time that we do get angry, just stop and think about it. Do I have a real reason to be doing this? And I think it's important to think, you know, is this person in this situation doing the same thing that I would do? So if that's the case, then why in the world am I getting angry at them? So Jesus says the one who's angry without a cause is in danger of the judgment, just as the one who commits murder. So it's important that we don't miss this point, that he's putting those people, both people, in the same classification. And the reason is anger without a cause and murder come from the same place. They come from a bad place in our heart. What happened to him when he was angry at Abel without a cause? He didn't have a good reason to be angry with Abel, but that anger without a cause led him to murder. 1 John 3 and verse 15. John says, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Well, another thing wrong with anger is it's a work of the flesh. Let's turn over to Paul's epistle to the Galatians in chapter 5. Beginning in verse 21. Well, verse 19. I'll begin there. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. There's our anger. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So outbursts of wrath or anger are mentioned in the very sentence as things like adultery and murder. So those things will do what? They'll condemn us to hell if we practice such things. Some Christians say things, and I've actually heard a Christian one time, he was a very good friend of mine, say something along this line. I may be hot-headed. I may have a short fuse. I may fly off the handle and give people a piece of my mind, but you know, that's just the way I am. Well, if that's just the way you are, you're not in the right way. It's the way you've chosen to be. So one who lives his life with that kind of a attitude is being led by the flesh and not by the spirit, because anger is a very serious thing, because it's going to keep us out of heaven if we don't get control of it. Well, another thing wrong with anger is that it's characteristic of a fool. Nobody wants to be a fool, do they? The wise man, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9 said, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry." Now notice, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. It's been my experience in life that anger only leads to two things, foolishness and shame. And that's exactly what the wise man said in Proverbs 12 and verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. I want you to think about your own life, and I'm thinking about my own life as well. When have I made the biggest fool of myself? Most likely it was a time when I let anger get the best of me. A prudent or a wise person realizes the foolishness and shame of anger and seeks to control it. But another thing wrong with anger is that its fruits are hard to overcome. In Proverbs 30 and verse 33, we see the bitter anger. Says, "For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife." What happens when someone gets angry and stays angry and it's uncontrolled? There's strife, isn't there? There's problems. And strife is a heavy burden, both for the person that's angry and for those persons that are around them. In Proverbs 27 and verse 3, "A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them." So, strife is no good. Strife is a heavy burden to bear. Unfortunately, many that have a problem with anger, or uncontrolled anger, I should say, never learn from their mistakes. And that's what the wise man says in Proverbs 19 and verse 19. It says, "A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you'll have to do it again." So those kind of folks just continue to act out on their anger and continue to bring shame on themselves, strife and hardship on others. So we need to remember last Sunday's lesson when we talked about self-control and self-denial. When it comes to anger, we're the only ones that can control our anger. It doesn't come from the outside. Then finally, what's wrong with uncontrolled anger? It doesn't accomplish God's will. In James 1 and verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. One of our highest goals as a Christian should be to promote the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we have uncontrolled anger, it doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It destroys our influence. It produces nothing but strife. Nothing good to the cause of Christ can take place when I give in and I'm governed by my anger. Well, those are the things that are wrong with anger. Now, how are we going to overcome it? Well, first of all, we need to remember, and this should be one of the most important verses in this entire series of sermons, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Everybody's affected by anger. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. I can put up with Windows 8. I don't have to lose my temper over that. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I just need to take that computer, set it aside, go off and do something else for a while, and then come back to it once my emotions have settled down a bit. So the Bible gives us some specific things we can do to overcome the sinful aspect of anger. The first one is patience. Proverbs 14 and verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Quick-tempered, doesn't have patience. So we need a good dose of patience. Same chapter, verse 29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Then chapter 15 and verse 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. So sometimes it's easy to get angry, even to get angry at our own brethren. But notice what Paul tells us in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. So the elect of God are people that are not characterized by a short fuse. They're quite the opposite. So we need to put on these things to overcome anger. Put on mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and a disposition to bear up with or put up with our brethren sometimes. Just grit our teeth and calm down. Patience requires practice. A lot of practice. And we're not going to be successful every time, but every time we're presented with that situation, we can remind ourselves to be patient. Well, another way that we overcome anger is through forgiveness. In that same section of Colossians chapter 3, remember what Paul said? He says, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So eventually, our brethren are going to do more than just make us angry. They may even sin against us. And then we're really in danger of losing control. And when that happens, we need to remember what Christ did for us. He forgave us, didn't he? So this requires us to learn to let things go. Doesn't mean that we condone sin or anything of that nature, but we can't nurse grudges and we can't stew over past offenses. Certain things in our life, we just have to let go of it. Because if we don't, we're just going to become more and more bitter, more and more resentful. We'll become alienated from our brethren and ourselves. We'll become depressed over something of that nature. Well, another thing we need to do to overcome anger is exercise self-control. I love quotations, and this one is a good one. Aristotle said, anyone can become angry, but to become angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, this is not easy. I'll just say, amen to that. So it takes a great deal of moral, spiritual strength to control ourselves once the fires of anger have been stoked, when we've been insulted or we've received some sort of a slight or wrong. That's why the wise man in Proverbs 16 and verse 32 said, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." It's impossible for me to control what happens to me, but I can control how I respond to things that happen to me. So the one who controls himself when provoked is stronger than the one who retaliates with wrath and anger. We need to remember that. That's the strong person. The strong person is the one that when he's provoked, doesn't retaliate. Proverbs 29 and verse 11, it says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." When we allow anger to control us, our words and our actions bypass our brain, unchecked and unrestrained, and that's going to cause problems. So we need to pay extra attention to the people, the situations, and the things that are likely to provoke us to anger, and make ourselves ready for the proper effort at self-control. I try to. I don't always accomplish it, but when I face with those situations, I try to pray for strength. I try to anticipate the situations when I know in the past those have produced anger. And so we have to pay attention to our surroundings. Again, I think I've said this almost in every one of these sermons. We can't just float through life and expect to be obedient to God. We've got to think ahead. We've got to anticipate these situations and be ready. Well, another thing that we can do, sorry about that, is give a soft answer. Part of controlling ourselves when it comes to anger is, when that happens, is to step back, take a deep breath, and control the tone and cadence of our voice. Don't get all loud and, you know, lose it. The wise man said, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The best thing that we can do in a situation where anger is present is to say a soft word rather than escalate the situation by saying something harsh. One philosopher put it this way. He says, "Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." And that's a lot of wisdom to that. Because the fact is, it's hard to argue with someone who refuses to shout and argue back. So the situation is diffused. So when tempers are rising, we need to rise above the temptation to fight back and inflame the situation, even if we're in the right. Instead, we need to strive to be calm and to give a soft, measured response, and that will help calm the situation rather than inflame it even more. And I think in this regard, it's important never to be afraid to be the first one to say, "I'm sorry." And don't say this: "If I did something to upset you, I'm sorry." You did something to upset me. That's why I'm upset. So don't say "if." Just say, "I'm sorry." And then we can overcome anger through discretion. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Discretion is the ability to discern or to make a proper judgment before we react to a situation. It enables one to be careful about what he says or what he does. But it's something we have to work at developing. Our first impulse is to strike back, to raise our voice, to elevate the situation. We need to remember what Will Rogers said: "People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing." So let's don't fly into a rage. We can only respond to a situation in the proper manner by taking the time to get all the facts, to weigh them carefully, And then I think it's important, once you get all the facts and you weigh them carefully, to have what I call a good talk with yourself. To remind yourself to calm down, to prevent yourself from becoming angry without a cause. We can only avoid anger by keeping our wits about us and thinking the matter through instead of responding purely with our emotions, to jumping to conclusions, because that's going to result in a bad situation. So that's our lesson for this morning. And I would encourage you to remember the analogy with fire. Fire can do a lot of harm, but it can also do a lot of good. It all depends on our ability to control it. And the very same thing is true of anger. There are times when it's right and proper to be angry. And to exercise our anger can accomplish much good done in the right way, like Jesus did in John chapter 2 when he overturned the table of the money changers. But if our anger is left uncontrolled, it's always going to do damage. And sometimes that damage is irreparable. And we need to remember that. So we need to take anger very, very seriously. If we have a problem with anger in our lives, we need to pray to God about it, follow what His Word says about it, and prepare ourselves to deal with it. Because we can overcome it. Remember 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. I would anyone that has a problem with anger, the very first thing when you get up in the morning, pray for some help from on high with our self-control. Because those who fail to control their anger will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God as well. And we don't want the fate that awaits the disobedient to happen to anyone. And we encourage you at this time with the song that's been selected to obey the gospel, to become a Christian, to have your sins forgiven, and to have the hope of eternal life. And if you're a Christian and you've not been living the way you should, if you would like the prayers of the congregation here, we would bid you come, whatever your need.